Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. We're going to talk about this last feast. And we've talked a bit about it before when we answered a question about trumpets. And it's something that we really need to think about. I'm not going to go through all the detail because we covered some of that with those questions or with that question about trumpets in Scripture. This is one that is specifically for the nation of Israel. And it says in verse 23, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. Thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity to look at this feast. And I pray, Lord, you just continue to bless this time, that it would be honoring and pleasing to you in all things. And these things I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we find here is this this feast, and there's not a lot about it. I mean, you go over to the book of Numbers, and we turn over to Numbers chapter 29. We find a little bit more about what was being offered in Numbers chapter 29, but we don't find too much more about it. You know, there's a lot more said about Sabbath and the Feast of Tabernacles and atonement and so on and so forth, and in Numbers chapter 29. And in verse 1, it says, "In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. It is a day unto the blowing of trumpets unto you. And you shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, one young bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deal for a bullock, and 2/10 deal for a ram, and 1/10 deal for one lamb. Throughout the seven lambs, the one kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Beside the burnt offering of the month and his meat offering and the daily burnt offering, this meat offering and their drink offerings according to their manner, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, a sacrifice made unto fire." So what is this? I mean, I know that sometimes we in the civic world, in our communities, wind up with some pretty bizarre holidays. I mean, we've got a national day for everything, amen? There's national days to recognize this and that and so on and so forth. And you know, there's debates about holidays and so on. If you live in the Northeast, you're familiar that they actually have one additional federal holiday that we don't have. There's all sorts of stuff that's out there, but this is just a weird feast. And let's just be honest. What are you doing all day long? Blowing trumpets and doing sacrifices. You know, there's no national reading of the scripture. There's no national prayer. There's no coming together around things. It's just, you know, there's just trumpets blown all day long. And when you think about it, that makes sense. Because when we talked about trumpets before, one of the things that we found is that trumpets are used for a variety of purposes in Scripture. Number one, they were to introduce and herald the king. That's important. That's really important, especially when you start talking about trumpets in the last days. Now, again, one of the other things we find out about trumpets is they also come about for the sole purpose of, kind of God's timekeeping. God ends ages and periods of times with different trumpets that we find throughout Scripture. I mean, you go over there and people get all messed up when they start reading that last trumpet sound. And if you go over there, go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to point this out just real quick. I want to make sure that we get this. Got to know how to rightly divide your Bible, folks. Got to know exactly where things go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's go ahead and turn to verse 51 here. So it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I want you to think about that just for a second. Think about that for a second. There's a lot that's packed in there, and sometimes we read it a little too fast, but this is an important thing. We can't just ignore the fact that the rapture is coming. There are groups that are running around, even here in Vancouver, Washington, that are trying to take that away from you, folks. Don't let them do it. Don't let them take your Bible. This Bible says that there is something that is coming. Now, they all jump on that last part there. It says, at the last trump. Well, the last trump. You go over there, the book of Revelation, and the trumpets that we read over there, Revelation 8 and 9, those are the trumpets. If you think those are the last of the trumpets, you're sorely disappointed. Because they're not. These last trumps, those are trumpets that herald certain time periods, certain ages, and certain things. And this is the last trump that is talking about for us in God's timekeeping. You know, there was watches. And what did they do? They'd sound the watch. They'd usually, I mean, if you're some of my squid friends in here will understand this. And when I say squids, just so you guys all know, that's slang for Navy guys. So, you know, they're used to that. What happens? You know, you got to change the watch or something, go ring a bell, right? There's a ring a bell. There's a little siren that goes off. There's something that happens. All those things happen and occur. They're there for a reason. To signal something changing. So this last trump, by the way, isn't the last trump that God's ever going to sound. And this last trump, while the trump of God is often his voice, as we have saw when we went back and we were studying through all of that, we saw that there was a connection to all those things in his voice. And I want you to keep that thought in mind for just a moment. This is not his last time he's talking. This is not him the last time he's coming back. Because when he calls people up, that's okay, fine. He calls people up, but then he comes back with a flaming sword coming out of his mouth. What do you think that is? That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God, folks. I mean, and again, let's go back. The cherubim that had a flaming sword, you think that was, you know, that was the Word of God that was there. Because think about that for a moment. Michael the archangel, when he rebuked Satan, what did he do? Did he give him a good left hook? Right hook? Kneaded the chin? Roundhouse kick? No. What did he do? The Lord rebuked him. He said the Lord rebuked him. He didn't even use his own authority. Which Michael the archangel is the prince of Israel. He has authority. He didn't use that. He used God's. And rightfully so. So what we find with all of these things is we find that there's this connotation that goes back to how God calls certain things, and if you will, kind of as a timekeeper and a record keeper with all of these trumps and how they would go throughout the days and all these different sounds that would be made. But one of the things that we also find out is that there are also warnings. You go over to the book of Revelation and turn there, Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, and in verse 2, "And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." And all these things start happening, and the next thing that you find is in verse 7, it says, "And the first angel sounded, And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and the grass was all burnt up. And the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And you go through this, and we're not going to go through all of these trumpets here, but what do you find? These are all judgments. These are all judgments and warnings to mankind. Now, if you want to talk about serious, stubborn rebellion, that is going to be somebody that does not believe Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. With all this stuff going on, who else are you going to call on? You going to call on the U.S. government to help you? Yeah, FEMA. I won't talk about what FEMA stands for. There's an acronym for it. But, you know, they're not going to help. None of the governments are going to be able to help. You go through and you read about how bad it's going to be. You think inflation's bad now? Go read about the Four Horsemen. Yeah. It just gets worse and worse and worse. That's end time prophecy. Did you know what those trumpets were used for? Warning. The end is near. Warning. Death is coming. Warning. Sin is abounding. Warning. So what the watchman would do, the watchman wouldn't just call the watch, but if all of a sudden he saw a bunch of lights coming up over the hill charging fast, he's on the trumpet. And he's signaling to everyone below, prepare yourself for battle. Prepare yourself for battle. What we find with all of this is we find that there's a great strong connection to the Word of God. And it's interesting that the Lord would take a feast like this simple feast. All it is just blowing trumpets. It's a festival of blowing trumpets. Nobody's doing any work, servile work. Everybody just kind of going about their day. Kind of, I wouldn't call it a day off necessarily, but still, it's a time for them to remember that with each blast of those trumpets, there's something to think about. How many times did God save them? How many times were those horns blown in victory? How many times were those horns blown to prepare themselves for battle, to be spiritually ready, to be physically ready? How many times were they blown to remind the close of one thing and the beginning of something new? I mean, we begin to think about this, and what that kind of paints a picture of is what the Word of God is about. The Word of God is a trumpet, folks. The Word of God is a trumpet, because what it does is it speaks volumes of everything that has happened. Does not the Word of God warn you? Is it not a good watchman for you? When you sit there and you think about all the stuff that God has done to keep you from sin, how many times he has warned you, how many times he's counseled. There's a warning. How many times, though, has he saved you? And he saved your soul, amen? I'm pretty sure a few trumpets were blown on that one. But think about this. How many times has he saved you from yourself and your own will? How many times has he saved you from going astray? How many times has he saved you from a bad decision? How many times have you made the bad decision and you sounded the horn anyways? Let's think about it for a moment. How do people communicate in traffic? Right? Somebody was talking about one time how they wanted a series of buttons on the steering wheel that would be the polite honk, you know, the thank you honk, the tick tick, you know, type thing, versus the I should have Nemeth park his car right up here, his truck. You hear that thing yet?
Terrible.
It's, yeah, that's a train horn, folks. He's got a train horn hooked up to that thing.
What?
Yeah. He sounded it off. I thought a train was coming through the church. Either that or Jesus Christ was coming back. One or the other. But, I mean, we've got horns, right? He's like, well, and then we need the one that's just the little wake-up call. Somebody's asleep or doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and it's, you don't want to irritate them. You don't want to do a long honk. You don't want to do an irritated honk. You just want to do the meh, like that to get them to go. People want to learn how to communicate with their horn. It's a form of communication as we drive around. It's a form of communication here along the Columbia River. When the fog sets in, one of the things I love to hear, another fog set in, that's what I get to hear. All those fog horns. It's cool. There's something about it. It's so neat. And what are they doing? They're communicating. You know, it's really hard to yell. As you can tell, my voice is still not what it should be. It's fighting for its dear life right now. Trust me. But I'll say this. When you can't yell, trumpets are a good way to sound something. To sound an alarm. To communicate help. To do anything of that nature. And what the Lord does is the Lord reminds us over there in Leviticus and Numbers, specifically with the nation of Israel, how good God has been to them. You know, we just had Thanksgiving. At our house, it was kind of lackluster. I think I had like, what, 5 gyoza, and that was my celebration. It really wasn't up for it. But we have Thanksgiving, and we take time to remember things, right? And this is what this festival is about, is to remember. To remember. In each one, you could probably think about several dozens of different things that the Lord has done for them, that the Lord has spared them with, the Lord has kept them from.
Why don't you go over to the book of... Let's go over to the book of, hold this here. Let's go over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. In Joshua chapter 6, we find that Jericho is circled. They're surrounded. And they don't fight the same way that everything else fought, the way that other battles have been fought. In verse 4, it says, 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and 7 times ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Well, what happens? They do that. Could you imagine being totally perplexed by being a Jerichoite? What are they doing? Here they go again. Around the city. They blow. Then they go back to their tents. It's not like really intimidation. I mean,
I mean, I understand that there's some horns and things like that that can sound very intimidating and very scary and things like that. But that's not what this was about. Because this wasn't about Israel being intimidating. Do you ever think about that for a moment? Maybe those horns were an opportunity each blast for repentance for Jericho. They could have thrown down their arms, walked out of the city, and said, "Spare our lives, please." They didn't. Each one of those blasts on that day of the Festival of Trumpets, think about that. Each one a call to repentance. Each one a call to a warning of God's pending judgment. And here they all are, surrounding this city, and then there's the one long blast. Well, how much longer is it going to be? Well, you'll know. And that blast, and it just echoes through that whole area, and then everything just crumbles to pieces. And it wasn't the acoustics, folks. I've heard people say, well, it's because Jericho was such a fragile little city. And no, it wasn't. It was a stronghold. And it wasn't the acoustics that did it. It was God. It was God. Stop trying to scientifically explain that. It's God. And what we find here is we find that this was something that they did. And it was a heralding of a victory that was coming. A victory that was coming. Turn to another passage. Let's go over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. I want you to see something here. Now notice this. In verse 1, cry aloud, spare not. Talking to Israel. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. It's another call to repentance. A voice like a trumpet. It's the Word of God. You know, when we start looking at how powerful the Word of God is, and we talk about it being a sword, it is so much more than that. It's sword. It's water. It's meat. It's bread. It's a trumpet. It's a musical instrument. God created musical instruments for a reason. God created musical instruments within Lucifer himself for a reason. That he was supposed to be the one that was bringing glory to God. And you know what brings glory to God? The humbleness. The trumpet is really simple, isn't it? It's probably not easy to play. I'll have to ask Bob about that one. He's played it. I don't know if anybody else has played trumpet. But you think about it, it's just air going through. It has to be done at a certain tone, and there's all the little valves and the stems and things. But, you know, back then, they weren't necessarily using those. You had to do that with your lungs. It's like a bagpipe. Except those did still have pipes, but you still had to control your breathing as you're doing that thing. But you understand what I'm saying is that there's trumpet sounds that mirror. Have you ever heard of an orchestration where it sounds like the trumpets are actual voices? Go back and listen to some of that classical music. We just sang Mendelssohn. Go look at some of his work. And you will find. Take a look at Handel. And you will find that those guys, they orchestrated those pieces to sound like voices. And our voices can still have some of the same sounds and the same tones that the things, even instruments, have. And even when we sing a cappella as we did here, it still sounds good. You know, God's word is an instrument. It's an instrument of so many things. And one of the things that the nation of Israel constantly forgot was the word of God. You know, all these holidays, right? At some point in time, people get sick of holidays. They get holidayed out. Especially this time of year. And depending on what type of organization that you work for, sometimes you can get holidayed out really quickly. Excuse me. You can get holidayed out with what? We got Thanksgiving. Well, let's back up a little bit. We've got Columbus Day, otherwise known as, what is it? Indigenous People's Day, which they're changing it now, I guess, back to Columbus Day. Because the people over there in, I guess in Boston didn't want it anymore. I don't know. Whatever. I guess their senator decided not to, never mind. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Going to keep my mouth shut. So you've got those. And then you wind up getting Veterans Day in there. And then you wind up getting... And I'm not discounting any of these, okay? I think it's very important we recognize our veterans. We're here by the grace of God and those that were willing to die for this. So... We've got you know, and then we start getting into the whole Thanksgiving, and then you've got Christmas, and then you've got Kwanzaa, and then you've got Hanukkah, and things like that. This is absolutely ironic. Amy and I were talking about this with a guy at OHSU, one of the CNAs, who I swear is Rick Terrazas' brother. He walks in, I'm looking at Amy, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, Rick? Moonlighting, are we? I was like, we had to tell him. We thought it was cool. And so he starts talking to us about religion. Any opportunity you get, folks. Any opportunity you get. Gave him a gospel track. And you know what? Interesting enough, he said, I don't like those other Bibles. A lot of people have said this. I like the ones that actually sound like the Word of God.
Yes.
Not like somebody's talking Gen Z slang to me. They come out with a Gen Alpha Bible. I'm going to take it up a collection. We're going to buy them all and we're going to get rid of them silently. That's just dangerous. I shouldn't say that. That sounds bad. Like we're going to go burn books and Bibles or something. But, you know, that's just wrong. But anyways, we were having a conversation with him, and his wife is Jewish. And he one of the things he commented is he says, you know, the Jews never make a big deal about Hanukkah. We don't. He said, that's not something that they do. He said, you know who does? The Christians and the retailers. Yeah. I mean, think about this. When you were back in grade school, I know that may go back a ways for some of us. You know, back when you got there via horse-drawn carriage, and you know, Dennis rode a dinosaur. but you understand what I'm saying? Is you know, back in those days, right? How often did you hear the word Hanukkah brought up around Christmas time? You didn't. You didn't, because it wasn't important. Now, I say all that to say this, is that we commercialize holidays. And we make them something that they're not. And as we've looked at these seven feasts, these seven festivals, and again, the primary one about this one is very simple. Remember what God has done for you, and remember what God has said. This is where Israel went wrong. When these no longer became about God, but they became about the event itself.
Yeah.
Look, Christmas is Christmas. And I may say something that might be considered sacrilegious. It is no holier a day than any other.
Right.
But it is pretty important. But let's make sure what it's important about.
Yeah.
What is that important part? What is the important whole? It's God Himself. And what happens here is as we look at these things, we find that the nation of Israel forsook them. They left them behind. They were no longer important. They were no longer anything that mattered. And while they may have done them, to them, it no longer brought to remembrance what God had done for them. They know it no longer brought to remembrance God's judgments that were pending. It never brought to remembrance all of the great promises God had given to us or given to them. And what we do is on a daily basis, when we read the Word of God, it should be like a little festival of trumpets. Every single day. Where we sit down and we remember what God did for us. Thanksgiving is come and gone. Don't let Thanksgiving be a day. Let Thanksgiving be the will of God in your life, as it is called. The nation of Israel had forgot all those things. The nation of Israel had set those things aside, and the only things that they had to offer, as he said to them before, your empty and hollow feasts that mean nothing. They mean nothing anymore. Now, as we continue this, I'm not just going to end with these seven that we've gone through, but what we're going to take a look at is we're going to take a look at some issues about the Sabbath itself, some other things that were in there that were called for them to do. So we get our understanding about why God has them do these things. You know, they were called to put borders of blue on their garments to remind them who they belong to. Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. We'll close with this in just a moment. Has God called you to dress weird? I mean, well, according to the world's standards nowadays, yes. You show up in something like this, and I know I'm not wearing a tie today. Because believe me, when you're scrapping for energy, tying a tie is on the bottom rung, folks. Okay? It's on the bottom rung. So, sorry. Which I'm sure you guys don't care. But I'll tell you this. The world today, they've got weird dress standards. There's stuff we see and we go, why? Why? Doesn't make sense to us. I understand cultures and things like that, and they vary in things. But again, you always got to keep in mind, is it modest? First and foremost, is it modest? Second of all, who is it glorifying? If it's not glorifying God, and it's glorifying you, go back over there and read what Peter had to say about it. It wasn't the putting on of the gold and all of that, and the pearls and the jewelry and things like that. That wasn't the issue. We're not Mennonites, folks. We're not Amish. We're not Quakers. You know what it means? It means, who are you representing in your heart? And that's something that we need to make sure that we keep an idea. Excuse me a second. This is reminding me to take pills. And there we go. Quiet. But I'll tell you this. The one thing that I know about all of that is this. They were told to wear blue on their garments for a reason. So that number one, people would know who they are. And number two, they would know who they were. And God hasn't called us to do that. God hasn't called us to feasts. Some people keep them. That's totally fine. Keep them. Just make sure you keep the remembrance of why you're doing it. Keep it biblical. Okay? Now, granted, I don't know how you're going to do the sacrifices, but okay. Unless you're having a big barbecue. But I just keep that in mind. All those things were meant for a reason. Because Israel had a problem with memory. You ever have a person that is suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's? Somebody, maybe your memory isn't as good as it used to be. You know, after about 15 anesthesia events, yeah, my memory is probably not as sharp as it used to be. But I will tell you this. One thing I know, I'm always going to be thankful for God. I'm going to always be thankful for Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm always going to be thankful for this word and His Holy Spirit that He has given to me. Let's keep that in mind. Feast of the Trumpets. It's all about remembering what God has said, what God has done, God's timetable, God's promises, God's warnings. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you so much again, Lord, for all the things that you have given to us. And Lord, forgive my memory. But Lord, I do pray this evening for that special prayer request from that brother, Tori Carter. And Lord, I just pray that Lord, you will work a miracle. And that, Lord, you would do your will and all of those things that need to be done. The Lord will clearly show and reveal who you are. But above all, Lord, regardless of what that will is, Lord, may we be accepting of it. And may your will be done. But Lord, we do pray for their funds, their finances, what they need. And Lord, again, I just thank you for all that you've done for us. These things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.